This is Betty with Beyond the Dalit, and there's been something that's been on my heart that I wanted to share. And I want to start out by reading a few little captions from a blog post I wrote back in October of 2025. So bear with me for a minute because I want to anchor what I want to talk about today. Okay? So what I was writing about was, and the title of the blog post was Embrace Expansion and Build for What's Coming. Okay, we're building with the blessing in mind. Here's how that blog post opened up. As we embark on a prophetic season of expansion, we are reminded of the divine challenge to enlarge our tents and strengthen our stakes. That's reflected in Isaiah 54:2. This transformative journey calls us to step beyond our comfort zones and prepare for the abundant blessings that lie ahead. With the guidance of Holy Spirit, we're invited to discern the unique times and seasons that God has ordained, each filled with purpose and potential. Embracing a mindset of expansion, gratitude, and openness to new opportunities will position us to receive all that God has in store, ensuring that we are faithful stewards of His provision and we navigate this exciting path of growth and connection. Okay, now I connected this again with, as I mentioned, Isaiah 54:2, which reads, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." This prophetic word that was given is in direct relation with the current Hebraic year. Okay, so the Hebraic year is that we're currently in is 5786. It's identified by the Hebrew letter Vav, which looks a little bit like a tent peg. Okay, I'm going to leave it there because I don't want to stay focused on the nitty gritty of that. I want to get somewhere with this. So let me continue to lay the foundation of where I'm going to go. A prophetic season of expansion is characterized by divine guidance and revelation that accompanies situations that demand something more of us than previously. Okay, that means the days ahead will be times of taking in more. We're going to have to be ready for the increase. Expansion seasons challenge us to step out of our comfort zones and stretch beyond our current capacities. We meet this challenge by enlarging the place of our tents and securing our stakes. Okay, now, you know, if you've listened to any of my podcasts or read my blogs, you know that a lot of times what I'm doing is I'm sharing what I'm going through in hopes that it will help somebody else. Okay, and I want to pause here in February, looking back to that word I got in October and going, how did that show up in my life? Well, it did show up is the point. And how that kind of just presented itself was the leading and direction of the Lord. And it started with, I got a call from a family member who said, "Hey, there's a couple of us. We're going to be getting together over a video call. We're planning on doing 30 days of prayer and communion. We'll start our day with prayer and communion every day for the next 30 days. We're praying into the year." Now, this was actually in October of 2025. And so we spent the whole month doing that. So we came together as a family. We took communion together. We were praying together, praying not only praying for one another, but praying for the family, praying for leading and direction. And honestly, I think I can only speak for me, but it really stretched me to begin my day every single day for an entire month to stop what I'm doing and to really focus on sincerely praying and staying connected with that and seeing that through. And And I believe that it very much for me was the kickstart. It really was. I used it as a time of just taking a pause. So I pushed the pause button on pretty much everything else I was doing. You know, as far as trying to like purposely be productive and all that, and trying to expand, rather than trying to expand and increase what I was doing, I made a conscious decision to expand myself and to stretch myself because I, you know, hey, we all have family, okay? I love my family. And but to spend 2 to 3 hours every single morning, because that's what this turned into. This turned into 2 to 3, minimally 2 to 3 hours every single morning for a month. That was very stretching for me. You know, like I said, I love my family. Let's have a quick call. Let's do this and move on. And that's kind of my thing. I'm busy. I've got things that I want to get to, but I really felt led of the Lord to slow down, to take this pause, and to deliberately invest in myself and expand my capacity for spending time with my family, for joining together in prayer and all of that. It's like, it's not that we haven't done this before, but doing it every single morning for a month was a very big challenge for me. You know, might not have been for you or for somebody else, but it was for me. So it, but what I realized is it did, it stretched me. It stretched me in ways that I didn't expect. And there were other things that kind of came out of that because I had made the decision during that time that I was going to limit a lot of other activities in my life so that I could focus on just, I thought, you know what? Well, if I'm going to take this time to just spend this time, my mornings in prayer and communion with my family, then I'm going to take this opportunity. It's kind of as a, you know, starting the year out with God. Then I decided I was going to take that time to just meditate with the Lord and spend that time devoted to reading the Word and spending time in prayer. And that's, and so I did that. Now, I don't always do that. You know, I don't. But this year I felt led to take that time and to really, now I happen to be in a position because I'm retired, I'm in a position where I can do that. So I understand, I'm not giving things, I'm not sharing this to give you something to mimic. I'm sharing my journey. Okay. So I was not expecting that. I didn't go into this season expecting this to show up in my life, but it did. So I had decided, well, I had projects I wanted to work on. There's a very specific things that I wanted to do, and some of it was in direct relation to the work I'm doing with the website and my podcast and all of that. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, I have some things I want you to do first. So I guess so again, pause, hit the pause button, and just rest. That's not easy to do when you want to get moving. Because believe me when I tell you, I wanted to get moving. I was finally getting to a place where I had been dealing with for the previous, like at least the previous 3 years, I had been dealing with the fallout of whether you want to call it long COVID or COVID brain or COVID brain fog or whatever it is. I couldn't think properly because I wasn't getting enough oxygen. And my breathing had been compromised because of about a COVID and the long-term effects it had on me. And, you know, at my age, I mean, I'm 66 years old. So at my age, losing lung capacity is not, well, it's not a great thing at anybody's age, But it was a challenge. It very much was a challenge. And so when I finally started feeling like I'm getting my respiratory abilities back here. I'm getting some lung capacity back. I'm my my you know, when you don't get enough oxygen, your brain's not getting oxygenated as well as it could be. And it's very difficult to think. So I had a real hard time. I could only do short periods of work where I used to be able to work for hours, you know, 4, 5, 6, even up to 10 hours a day. I could work for maybe 20 or 30 minutes, and then I had to rest my brain for a couple days. That's how challenging it was. So when I finally got to a point where my cognitive ability was freed up, what I wanted to do was put my running shoes on and get back to work. And what did the Lord say to me? Hold on, honey. I want you to sit here. First, I want you to sit with your family. No. Gosh, yeah, no, it's not what that was not my plan, but it was God's divine instruction. Okay, it was His guidance, and what came as a result of taking that pause was I realized I didn't have all the pieces together that I needed for going for the work I wanted to do, and the Lord just kept, you know, giving. I just kept getting this impression that, yeah, you don't have the, you don't have the right focus now. You've lost a lot. You need to just sit here and let me bring back to you. Let me bring some things back to your remembrance. Okay. And so I spent, you know, you get through October. Well, now we're going into the holidays. I'm like, well, I'm not going to start a major project because I had like five major projects I've been waiting for the last 3.5 years to get to, and finally feeling able to do that. And again, it's like, no, Betty, I want you to wait. I want you to wait until after the end of the year. At least wait until June. You've waited this long. You can wait a couple more months. And again, I just was like, wow, what is happening? What's going on? I wasn't as much striving with that as much as I was just trying to go, well, I don't know what to do with myself. You know, now that I have cognitive ability back to where I'm, you know, I'd say I'm probably at 85% at this point, which is great, okay? And I have to tell you, I wasn't thinking, it wasn't like in the front of my mind that we're in a season of expansion. That was not, it's not like I had this all thought out. I didn't. I'm sitting here now in the middle of February, kind of looking back and going, well, who knew? Okay. Well, then there's that, you know, because I wasn't thinking about that. It's not that it's like I wrote the blog and I never thought about it again. The Lord has had me in this place of shifting and changing, but at the same time, there's, I mean, honestly, when I look around, I'm going, there's really nothing going on. I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to do here. You know? So, okay, having said all that, let me keep this ball rolling, okay? During a season of expansion, we build differently than we do in other seasons, okay? So we build with increase in mind, okay? Which means we're going to need storehouses for what is coming. Now, that could mean, now take that imagery and apply it to your own personal life, okay? You know, so it's kind of like when a woman is expecting, she might not know whether she's having a boy or a girl, but she does know she's having a baby. Okay. So you're expecting an increase to your family. Well, what do you have to do in order to prepare for that increase? You have to make a place for it. It isn't here yet, But all of the promise of it coming is it's on its way. Okay, and that's kind of been where we've been, okay, from, let's say, a prophetic standpoint. We have been, as the ecclesia, we've been in this place where we're expecting. We're in a place of expectation, not just a place of emotional expectation, but there was something in the spirit that it's like the things that are first, they're done in the spirit, they're done in the spirit first, and then they're done in the natural. So it's God is releasing this in seed form, just like a woman gets impregnated. You get impregnated in seed form first, and it has to develop and it has to grow before it gets birthed. Okay, before it actually comes into the physical natural realm, there's some growing and expanding and developing that has to take place. But you, as the steward of that new life, you have to make place for it. You have to do, now, when it comes to doing things that God is leading us to do, it takes wisdom, but it doesn't take our wisdom. It takes God's wisdom. And the best thing we can do is lean into that. So it's not, oh, gee, let's run out and start buying a bunch of stuff. It's hold on, wait, get instruction from the Lord. We wait for his instruction. We need to be ready because it's coming. Okay. Now, the great thing with actually being pregnant is you usually have a due date. Okay. More times than not, you know when to expect it. With God, not so much. Okay, but we do know that we're in a season of expectation. So during this time of expectation, we're living in the place of whatever it is, it's growing and developing. Now, what I've realized in my life for myself is that what I've had to do is kind of get refocused and go, there are some pieces that I've had to look at and go, there's stuff, there's understanding that's falling through the cracks, and I need to clean this up. I need to, you know, it's kind of like where you realize there's kind of cracks in your structure. You need some tuck pointing, okay? So I've been through this time where the Lord was saying, what you said, I want you to wait. You know, hold on. And I'm meeting with the Lord. I'm just simply spending time with God to spend time with God. That's what that was all about. Okay. So when I tell you, you know, I'm spending time in, you know, with prayer and meditation and just getting into the Word, what I realized I had to do, which is, again, it's a challenge for me at times, is to remove my agenda. It's to remove my game plan. And it took time because, you know, I'm a very project-oriented kind of person. And because of that, I'm going to keep pushing with my agenda. I'm going to keep going with my intentions. And until the Lord tells me to stop. And that was what happened this time. And that doesn't always happen. Because I'm always in this place where it's, you know, discerning when the Lord gives you a gentle nudge, you know, you learn to kind of go with the flow here, okay? Because we're going with the flow of the Spirit, not with my flow, his flow. And sometimes we don't realize how subtly we get out of the flow. And we get into, I'm doing this on my own. I'm doing it a little bit more in my own strength. And the one thing I've had to do for the last 3.5 years now has been to really, 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 really rest in his grace and only move out of that place of grace. Only move when the ability is there, when his leading is there. Because I've honestly, I didn't have a choice. I couldn't function. I sincerely could not function on my own. Thankfully, I didn't have to. Thankfully, God has graciously put me in a place where I have all the physical hands-on assistance that I need. I live with people who love me and who care about me and are there for me. They're not my servants, they're my family. And I appreciate everything they do for me. And I try not to take advantage of that. But having said that, through this time, through especially where I couldn't put two thoughts together sometimes, it shifted my dependency. You know, I don't think we always realize, you know, how easy it is for us as human beings to, you know, we've been walking with the Lord for a while and you kind of get this, I got this, you know, I'm good, you know. And there's times, I think, when we don't realize that we've gone ahead of the Lord. You know, I've been trying to work on these different projects, and they're all good projects, okay? They're all great stuff. But when I sat with God and I let go of my agenda and I said, okay, I'm only going to do what you give me the grace to do, because that was the only capacity I had. If God didn't give me the grace to even get out of bed, I couldn't. There were days when I was so sick that I could hardly function. And there were times when there were weeks like that where, you know, at different intervals with this, you know, I had gotten to a point where I had to use a walker to get around. And believe me when I tell you, that was not easy. It was very, very humbling. And even now, I'm still walking with a cane, because I've lost so much just physical strength. And when you become dependent in that respect, you know, and this isn't just for those of us that are getting older, but anyone who has had to deal with physical weakness and to the point where you've had to depend on someone else, you don't really get it until you're put in that position. And being a very independently minded individual and hating that really with a passion, I really, it was very challenging for me. But you do kind of get to this place where when you're walking with the Lord in it, where you don't even realize you're getting to a different place, and God has been doing this work. So when I, you know, so back in October, and my mind is getting cleared up, and I know I can go forward with these different projects, I'm not fighting the Lord as much as I had to wrestle down my own agenda and go, okay, hold on. I have had this plan. I've been holding on to this plan for 3 years because I haven't been able to get to it. But what's my choice? My choice is to either push forward with my plan or wait on the Lord for his instruction. Well, I'm going to wait on the Lord for his instruction because that's how I feel led to do that. And then as I'm waiting on the Lord through this and we get through the holidays and we now get into January, I'm getting instruction from the Lord to do something else. And I'm like, okay, well, I can do that. We've already waited this long. All right, well, what do you have for me to do? And every couple of years I do this. So I wasn't too thrown by it, okay? I love the book of Hebrews. It's one of my favorites. And for me, it's one of those books that for me, it anchors me. It anchors me in what Jesus has done. It anchors me in the finished work of the cross. It just does. That's what it does for me. Now, that might not be what it does for you, but that's what it does for me. So I love the book of Hebrews. And typically what I'll do is I'll pull together a couple of different commentaries or something God just puts in my hands or whatever. And I will journal my way through the book of Hebrews. So I did that. The first time I did that was with Andrew Murray's book. I think it's called The Holiest of All. And since then, I've really kind of resorted more to my software, unless I happen upon something like I did this year. And I'm going through N.T. Wright's book, Hebrews for Everyone. And I love it. I'm enjoying it. And having said that, okay, what I also do is I pull up other reference material and other commentaries and things like that. And because I have software that I use, that's an old lady term. I have an app. I use the Logos Bible Study app, and I have a phenomenal library. I love my library. So I have a ton of stuff in there. And so when I'm digging into this, I'm clear the decks. This is what I'm doing. I love doing that. It just so feeds, it feeds into me. It feeds into my soul. It's so refreshing for me to not have to focus on anything else except I'm doing this Hebrews, dig deep. Go deep, go wide, go long. You know, it's I get to just go and do. And I don't have to worry about showing up for anything else except to spend time with my granddaughter. So having said that, so I was enjoying that. And I'm in this, okay? And I take my time with it. I don't plow through it. I let it plow through me. And the more that was happening, the more I realized some of those cracks in my structure and going, I can see where like some of the blog posts or maybe some of the podcasts or whatever, where what I said could very easily be misinterpreted. And I realized that a lot of that came out when I was talking with my family in that family call and then subsequent conversations that we've had since then. And it really, it challenged me. I mean, it really did. It stretched me to go, hold on, I really need to take a look at this. And the more I looked at it, the more I prayed about it, the more I really felt led to go, hold on, I don't have anything out there. I don't have anything on my website that talks about the foundation that I believe with all my heart, with every fiber of my being, unless you have this foundation, nothing else will stand. And that foundation is the finished work of Christ. You know, so, but I don't always say that. I assume that. And I imply, I take for granted. And that's the piece that had to come to light for me that took, what, 5-6 months to get there, was that I take that for granted. I take for granted that my listeners and my followers are already have that established in their life and that's the groundwork that they're building on. And what I realized is that, you know, a lot of times when we're thinking internally, because that's where thinking happens. Thinking happens in my head. Okay. I cannot convey what's in my head any other way to you other than the words that I speak or the words that I write and put on the page. You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know where I'm going with something. And the same is true in reverse. I have no clue where you're coming from or where you're going. I only know the statements that are coming out of your mouth. I only know the things that you're saying and the actions that you're doing. And I got challenged. Again, it came out of that time with my family. But I got challenged with not only what do I believe, but why do I believe it? And why do I believe the way that I believe? And what exactly is that? Because I had times when family members were asking me questions that I had to really stop and take stock and really think about what I was going to say. And it, because this was all about our faith and how we believe, and there were a lot of things that came up in conversation that was very challenging and very stretching. And again, for me, it brought me to this place where I had to take a look at the foundation and go, okay, hold on. There's a foundation here that cannot be ignored. And unless we're building on the foundation of the gospel, unless that is absolutely, positively our foundation, then whatever it is we're building is not going to remain. I want to build an eternal structure, so to speak, in my life. I want what's built in my life to endure. Now, the things of this world are going to pass away. So the things in the natural world, things come and go. You know, I mean, we may have some structures like the pyramids that have been here for millennia, but for the most part, things come and go. Okay? We live in a world that is constantly changing and shifting, and we have to learn how to shift with that. But at the same time, my desire is that no matter what's going on in my life, I want to be stable. I want to be secure. And the only way I can do that is if I'm anchored in Christ and Christ alone. If my dependency is on something else, if my dependency is on my job, if my dependency is on another human being, if I only get a sense of security and I only feel okay when someone else is stroking me or complimenting me or whatever, then I'm not secure and I'm not okay. If I only feel secure when I have X amount of dollars in the bank, I'm not okay. You know, if, you know, fill in the blank, if whatever, then I'm not okay. You know, and we all, I had to look at all of those things in my life. I think we have to revisit those things multiple times in our lives. And this was just one of those times for me. And I really felt like the Lord was taking me back to this, Betty, this is a time of expansion. You're in a time where you're expanding in order to take in more. I have more for you, but you're not ready for it. You have to expand so that you can take in more of what I have for you. Steward well what you have. That doesn't mean take that penny and go hide it away. It means to, and it doesn't mean to steward things according to the world's way of stewarding things. It means I need to be led by the Spirit. It means I need to listen to the voice of the Lord and then act on what he's saying. You know, it's put into action what Jesus is saying. And in order for me to do that, I have to be listening to what Jesus is saying. So that means I need to position myself to hear and be prepared to obey what I hear. So when the Lord says to me, Betty, I want you to do this study on Hebrews, clear the decks, you're not doing anything else, we're going to start with this. Okay. So I'm going to do this. You know, again, it's Betty, press the pause button on moving forward. You're not building the way I want you to build. You're building, and that's okay, but I have a different way I want you to build. Here's what I want you to build. Here's what you're building, but take a look over here. This is what I have for you to build. You come over here now and build this. And as I sat with the Lord with that, what came out of that was, Well, if we're going to build, we have to start with the foundation. And what is the foundation? The foundation is Christ. The foundation is gospel. It's the gospel message. It's the benefits of the new covenant. But it's living out of grace. It's totally and completely living from a place of the finished work of Christ and really letting that be established in us, not a thought that's here today and gone tomorrow. We go, well, we'll think about that. We'll think about that in the spring at Easter or Passover. No, this is the foundation that we stand on. You know, like Paul said, you can't lay any other foundation other than one that's already been laid. This is the foundation that's been laid. It's the foundation is laid on the apostles and prophets with Christ as the cornerstone. Why? Because the apostles and the prophets, they point to Christ. The prophets are speaking of what Christ was coming to do, and the apostles speak of what Christ has accomplished. It's all about him. It all points to him. And that is what we stand on. I don't stand on my own merit. I don't stand on my ability, my human ability, to fulfill some kind of religious order or some kind of religious standard. I'm never going to be able to do that. That's why Jesus came. But somehow or another, along the way, sometimes, unless we get these constant reminders that it's all about grace, it's not about works, there's nothing we can add to, there's nothing we can take away from the finished work of Christ, and there's nothing we can add to it. He did all of it. We simply now rest in that, and everything we do from here comes out of that place of rest in him. It comes out of the place of everything that he's accomplished on our behalf. We do not have to fix anything. I don't have to fix your doctrine. I don't even have to fix my doctrine. What I do have to do is listen to Holy Spirit and stay anchored in what Christ has already accomplished on my behalf. And the doctrine will take care of itself. As long as my theology is accurate, as long as my theology, that's what I think about God, what I know about God, what I understand about God, if my theology is accurate and completely anchored in the finished work of the cross, that is, now build on that. But what we don't do is go, okay, well, I have an agenda. I'll stand here, but now I'm going to go do my own thing. No. We build the same way we started. When we come to Christ, we come to the cross. We accept the fact that he became our Savior, died for our sins, that we have been forgiven and redeemed and all of what he's done. And now he died for sin once and for all of it forever. There's nothing I need to do now. I don't have to come repenting every single day. I don't have to confess my sins every single day. You go, well, I don't have to keep saying, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. No, Jesus died to set me free from the punishment of the law. Jesus died in my place. I am now free to live. Now, like Paul said, does that give me license to continue sinning? Well, of course not. Of course not. May it never be. Okay? But the life we live now, we live by faith. We live our life the same way we came to Christ. By faith, through grace. Every day, by faith, through grace. And that's the piece that we have to start there. We have to start there, but we also have to finish there. We have to stay connected with that piece because as soon as we step off that foundation, As soon as we step away from that, from the understanding, we now enter into a place where we're no longer standing on the unshakable. Because that is going to remain when everything else is being shaken, when everything else is falling. There's one thing that will never fail, and that's the love of God. That's His love. And what is His love? It's the manifestation of the fullness of the cross. We always have to come back to the cross. I don't care how prophetic you are. I don't care how gifted you are. If we are not anchored totally and completely secure in the finished work of the cross, then every prophetic word we give is going to be laced with religion and law. And that's what we have to avoid. That's what we need to stay away from that. And the only way we can stay away from turning the gospel into law is to stay anchored in the fullness of the finished work of the cross. So for me going forward, what this has meant has been, like I said, the more I sat with it, the more I had to realize, wow, there's a lot that I've left unsaid. There's a lot that I believe needs to be there. And that has been my motivation behind doing this new foundation course that I'm doing. So I put the intro to it is on the website. So you can go to the website beyondthedalit.net and you'll find it there. It's on there. But here's the thing, okay? When it comes to living the Christian life and all of those things, we need to get rid of all the trappings. We need to get rid of all the have-tos and get back to basics. And I believe that it's as we are getting back to the basics, which is the finished work of the cross. When we get back to the foundation that we're standing on and putting our trust completely in Him, what shows up in our lives, how God leads us, when we let go of the things that I want, okay? When I let go of my projects, okay? At this point, I couldn't even tell you what they are. So I've had to let go of them, and I've had to let go of my agenda for Beyond the Dalit. I've had to let go of my agenda for that. And it's like, well, because the Lord kept bringing me back to, He said, what is the word I gave you concerning that? And it's, you know, it's not just a tagline for the website. It's summoning Christ's ecclesia from where we are to where we're called to be. Well, where are we? Where we are is on the foundation of the finished work of Christ. That's where we start. That's where we finish. That foundation is never going to change. It's an enduring foundation. And as we go forward and build from here, we're only going to be building on that foundation. So everything now, so whatever prophetic words come or whatever teachings or whatever on Hebraic roots or being living tabernacles and that whatever the focus is, it has to be known that the foundation that this is being built on is nothing more and nothing less than the finished work of Christ. And so what I'm seeing, and I'm going to finish with this. What I'm seeing for myself is, you know, when you clear out a storage space, the space is empty, and now it's ready to be filled. And that's basically, in a nutshell, that's what I'm seeing, that work that God is doing. You know, so if you feel like, well, there's just really nothing going on right now. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If you're being led into, if God just keeps saying to you, I just want you to rest, then know that there's one thing we rest on, and that's the finished work of Christ. there remains a rest for God's people. There is a place of rest that Jesus provided. You know, when the children of Israel were coming out of the wilderness, and they were going into the promised land, this was a promise of rest, okay? But the rest that Joshua led them into was not an eternal rest. It wasn't a finished rest. It was a type and a shadow, just like all the other pictures that we have from the Old Testament. It's a type and a shadow. It's pointing to something that's coming. Joshua is pointing to the fact that Jesus would ultimately lead us into the perfect rest, his completed rest. We now live out of that completed rest. When we get a revelation on the rest that is provided to us through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we get a revelation from the Lord, Holy Spirit to come and breathe on us and bring a revelation of that rest, we will move forward differently. We will connect with others differently. Our connection with God even just somehow, I don't know, becomes clearer. It's even in that we become, it's more settling. There's a sense of security in that. And we grow in that. We grow in our understanding. We grow because the revelation is always increasing. There's always an aspect of that rest that we haven't entered into yet. So no matter what revelation we already have, there's always more revelation to come. There's always more that God is ready to unlock and to take us into. So I'm going to end this with a prayer for us for going forward. So Father God, we come before you. We thank you and we praise you and we give you glory. We thank you that you sent your Son. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father. And we accept your Son. We accept the work that was accomplished on our behalf, that there's nothing we have to add to it, and there's nothing that can be taken away from it. Lord, I'm asking that you bring a revelation of the full completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ into each and every one of us, and expand that work into every area of our lives, that we truly can rest and be established in the completedness, the finished work. Father God, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to direct in a way, Lord God, that keeps us anchored with you and secured on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us insight, give us understanding for how you would have each one of us to go forward in this hour. Give us the ability to receive all that you have for us so that we can be expanded in the way that we need to be expanded to receive all that you have for us to receive. And so that we can, when it's time for us to put our hand to the plow, when it's time for us to go forward with the work that you have for us, that we will be firmly secured and established in and on the work of the cross. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for each one listening. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This has been Betty with Beyond the Dalit. Shalom.